Good morning. Welcome to Koinonia. We're so glad to have you join us today. If this is your first time, please take the time to fill out our Connect card by scanning the QR code on the screen below, and one of our staff will reach out to you to personally welcome you to our church. The following are a couple announcements that we have for you. Something we all do with or without knowing is make excuses. From young, we've learned to make excuses to get out of an undesirable situation, which is something we carry into our adulthood and turned into a habit. But it is important to know that making excuses isn't just a bad habit, but it reveals something deeper inside of us. That's why we need to learn to identify them and confront them in order that we may discover a more rewarding and purposeful life. So join us on March 19 as we begin this new sermon series called Excuses. Your 2021 tax receipts has been sent out through email in mid-February. So please check your inbox and also your spam folder in case your email has not been received. And if you've requested a hard copy of your tax receipt, it has also been sent out in February. In case you have any questions, please contact Winnie Fong, our church administrator, through phone or email. Lastly, please stay behind for a special announcement regarding in-person services. So as we begin to prepare our hearts for worship, let me read from Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king is his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Brothers and sisters, let us rise together to worship our holy God.
Only my holy God. Come and worship the Holy God. You spoke the light into darkness, shaking the silence of space. Set everything into motion to bring out your praise. Creation is telling a story, unveiling the depths of your love. Each detail revealing the wonder of all that you've done. Holy, holy, Lord Almighty, this is the song of heaven, a song that will never end. Worthy, worthy, King of glory, this is the song of heaven, a song that will never end. You spoke the light into darkness, shaking the silence of space. Set everything into motion to bring out your
Church, let us pray together. God, we want to praise you. We acknowledge that you are still on the throne, regardless of what's happening around the world. We want to acknowledge that, in fact, in this moment, at this moment, angels and all the heavenly beings, and in fact, even all creatures are surrounding your throne, singing, "Holy, holy, holy, worthy, worthy, worthy." And so God, give us, we ask for that peace and comfort, knowing that you're still in control. You're still on the throne. We need this peace and comfort of the knowledge of you in the throne, on the throne. And God, would you quiet our minds, quiet our hearts so that we can receive what you have to say to us today. May your words be spoken loud and clear, going deep into our hearts, deep into our minds. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, please be seated. We're in the last sermon of our series called Give Me a Break. And today we're going to talk about something that causes me to say, give me a break. And it's really very simply, just one word, it's interruptions. These kind of things happen usually when I'm writing my sermon or in the middle of the work and there's a spam phone call, or sometimes my wife, Fish, she likes to give me small talks when we're working together. And honestly, those things kind of frustrate me because I am a very result-oriented person, and when I'm in focus, when I'm in my mode, in my zone, I don't like to get distracted. I don't like to get sidetracked. And so I get frustrated. I get frustrations from interruptions. And so recently, I have kind of subconsciously, and I'm not very proud of this, I developed this coping mechanism for defending interruptions, if you will. 2 years ago, when we first began a lot of Zoom meetings, Pastor Ava gave some of our staff a little sign. She made this little sign for some of us as a Christmas present. And this sign says, "Meeting in progress." And the intention of this sign, let me explain it for a sec. The intention of this sign is for us as staffs, if we're in a Zoom meeting, we will put this up on the door, we'll hang it, and then this simply just lets the coworkers know, hey, I'm in a meeting, don't come in, don't disrupt me. Because when we're staring at the screen looking at Zoom meetings, sometimes it just looks like you're still just doing work. So people from the outside, it's very difficult for them to tell whether you're in a meeting or not. So this sign is actually quite helpful. And honestly, I need to confess, and I'm not very proud of this, I have come to kind of abuse this little sign for a while. What I've kind of evolved to do in order to prevent or maybe even avoid interruptions is I will leave the sign on a little bit longer than my meeting. I would just kind of forget that it was there, and I'll just let it hang on the door. This is one of my coping mechanisms for dealing with interruptions. Because interruptions frustrate me, right? Interruptions frustrate me. It stops me from doing what I intend to do. And so, maybe like you as well, we do everything to avoid it. And so maybe you can imagine the tension that I was feeling, I think it was like a year or maybe a year and a half ago. I was already late for work one morning. I was already late for work, and I had to drive to pick up Fizz, my girlfriend back then. We were working at KEC together, obviously. And we had a meeting at 9:30, and we were already late. We were on the way. So I was driving out of my driveway, and I came to this intersection. I stopped at the stop sign, and I let this teenager on a bike pass by in front of me. And as this teenager sort of rode his bike across to the oncoming lane, he got hit. He got hit by a car that didn't stop on the other side. And so he got hit, and the impact caused him to roll up the car, and he fell back down onto the floor. And so it was my turn to go at the intersection. I was still at the stop sign. I was late. I had to pick up my girlfriend. We had a meeting at 9:30. So at that point, I had a choice. Should I get out of the car and, I don't know, do something to help, or should I just keep going? And honestly, I didn't really have to go out to help him. I thought, you know, it's not my fault. I didn't know him. Maybe there's somebody else I can help him that's better suited to help him. I didn't have like a first aid certificate or anything. There's nothing I could do anyways. And so besides, you know, I'm late for work. I'm late for ministry. I'm late for a meeting. And if I'm late and my wife is late, you know, the meetings are going to get postponed and work's going to get, you know, snowball. And I have a sermon to write, and I don't like to get interrupted. I don't like to get interrupted. And so I avoid interruptions at all costs. I wonder if you feel the same way sometimes. Do interruptions bring you frustrations? that sometimes you're just so constantly interrupted that you just want to like smack your head onto the table and just say, give me a break. Give me a break from this coworker who comes into my door every 5 minutes asking about one little thing. Or give me a break from my parents who is just nagging me to do something which I already said I'm going to do later. Or maybe give me a break from your kid. Like, you love your kid, but honestly, when they just cry in the middle of the night and they just keep crying and crying and crying and you don't know what to do, honestly, you need a break. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something bigger. Maybe it's something more impactful, something out of the blue that recently just knocks you out of your path, out of what you intended to do. Or maybe it be something good. It might be a good impact. It might be something like an opportunity or some sort, but it still disrupted you. It's still an interruption to you, interrupting what you intend to do. And so your response might be like a little bit like mine. Let's do everything we can to avoid it. Let's do everything we can to kind of prevent these things happening. Let's hang a sign. Let's hang a sign and say, just don't disturb me. I have more important things to do. But the reality of life is we can't really avoid interruptions. We can't really avoid the frustrations that come with interruptions. And so we say, oh, give me a break. That's something that I find myself saying a lot during this pandemic. I just need a break. You know, as I was doing research for this sermon, I looked into the Bible from this perspective, right, from interruptions and frustrations. And I can't help but realize how often Jesus seems to be interrupted. And get this, right, Jesus is the Son of God. He came here with a clear mission, but he's busy. He's seeing a lot of people. He's doing a lot of preaching. But his life seems to be interrupted all the time. You know this story. So Jesus was at home one day, and many people gathered around his home to maybe try to see him. Maybe they're curious and they want to listen, or maybe they just want healing. They just want miracles. And so Jesus was taking advantage of that moment, and Jesus was just preaching the word to them, preaching the kingdom of God, preaching and telling them to trust in him. And so Jesus is all doing all these teaching, and all of a sudden, the roof of his house got torn down. And then there was a man who was lowered on like a carrier by four robes. Can you imagine that? That's so hilarious. You're just talking and then hole on the roof and then the man just comes down. And obviously Jesus would have stopped. He can't go on. He's interrupted. Now imagine at that point. If Jesus was frustrated, what would Jesus say? Come on, guys, give me a break. I'm like 15 minutes into my sermon. I just got the crowd to calm down, to stop asking me to do miracles. Peter and John, can you escort them out? Get them to the back of the line. Put a waiting list, sign up sheet. Just sign up an appointment. I'll get to them once I have time. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus told the paralytic who was coming down on the carrier, Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven. And that man was healed right then and there. Jesus turned an interruption into something else. Even in his sleep and his rest, Jesus would get interrupted. And trust me, and you know this too, if you get interrupted in your sleep, that brings a lot of frustration. So a little later, Jesus was crossing the Sea of Galilee on a boat with his disciples, and he was taking a power nap on a boat. Jesus needed to take a power nap. And suddenly a great storm arose and the waves were breaking in. And so the disciples were panicking. They thought they were going to die. And so they shook Jesus and they woke him up. Jesus, do you not care that we're dying over here? And so Jesus like got woken up from his nap. And that must have been like the worst feeling, right? If you get woken up from your nap, that's the worst feeling ever. Imagine if Jesus felt frustrated. What would he say? Did I not tell you not to wake me up until my alarm goes off? I have 5 minutes until my snooze time. I need my power nap, guys. You guys deal with it. Just grab some bucket. John, just grab some bucket. Just start scooping the water out. Just talk to Dad. Ask Dad about it. Dad will take care of it. Just pray. Dad will take care of it. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus awoke. I don't know if he was grumpy at that point. I don't think so. He rebuked the wind, though. And he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And Jesus turned that interruption into an opportunity. On another occasion, this is interesting. This shows you how often and how badly Jesus gets interrupted. Because Jesus was interrupted, and this interruption was interrupted by another interruption. So Jesus calms the storm, and he and his disciples comes back to the other side of the sea, and a crowd had gathered around him already. And obviously so, he has just done something miraculous. And so he takes advantage of that moment, and he starts to speak to his disciples about fasting and teaching them a little. And right there, Jesus was interrupted by one of a leader of a synagogue called Jairus. So Jairus had a 12-year-old daughter, and this daughter is about to die. She's dying. She was really sick. And so Jairus had no other option. He was so desperate. He came and interrupted Jesus. Jesus, you need to come and heal my daughter. You need to come and save my daughter. Imagine if Jesus was frustrated, what would he say? Come on, Jairus, I just got off the boat. I need to get home to go get a quick change, grab a quick bite. I'll be with you in a sec. I have raised dead people before. Don't worry, if she dies, I'll be there. I'll be there. Everything will be fine. Nope. We're told that Jesus went with him, and the crowd obviously followed. And so as he's on his way, after he got interrupted, he was interrupted again. There was a woman who had a condition of blood discharge for 12 years. That's horrible. For 12 years. And so she heard reports about Jesus in town, and she was so desperate, so she squeezed her way through the crowd to find Jesus. And then she believed that even if she touched the garment of Jesus, she would be well. And so she did, and immediately she was healed. And so at this time, Jesus stopped himself. Jesus interrupted himself, and Jesus turned around and said, "Who was it that touched my garment?" And the woman had no choice, and she confessed. And what would a frustrated Jesus say at this point? But Jesus was not frustrated. Jesus didn't lash out at the woman. Jesus turned to the woman and reassured her that her faith has made her well. And just at that point in time, an interruption came again. Some people, maybe a servant from Jairus' household, came to tell Jesus, as Jesus was talking to the woman, "Jairus' daughter is dead. Why bother?" But it didn't stop Jesus. Jesus kept walking, and they entered into Jairus' house with a few disciples and Jairus and his wife. And he went by the child who was dead, took her hand, and said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking. So Jesus not only He doesn't get frustrated about interruptions, about constantly getting interrupted, but he seemingly he embraces them, and he turns them into opportunities to do God's work. Turns them into opportunities for ministry, or maybe even showing the world who he is. And so these are just some examples that we pulled from the gospel, from one of the gospel. And if you flip through the rest of them, you will find that Jesus seems to be constantly interrupted by sick people, by blind people, deaf people, crippled people, his disciples, you know, children, Pharisees, Jewish leaders. Any type of people have pretty much interrupted and stopped Jesus from what he was going to do. But Jesus used all these interruptions as opportunities to do God's work. But it's not just he's extra patient, though. It's not that Jesus was extra patient. It's not that he's too nice to say no. The reason he's able to do this is because of what we said in week two of the series. Remember how we said that Jesus always aligns himself to the will of the Father. And so it turns out what we see as interruptions, Jesus sees as opportunities to do God's will. What we see as disruptions, what we see as a path that's veered off from what Jesus intended to do, Jesus saw it, that as God's plan, that as God's path, and that is God's will. And interruptions became opportunities. And so this is how Jesus, maybe he might explain this. In the Gospel of Luke, he demonstrates this point with a parable. He was doing some teaching, and he was obviously interrupted again by a lawyer this time. And we read, "Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test." And so this lawyer is probably not a friend of Jesus. He wants to maybe test Jesus' knowledge about the law, or maybe even prove to Jesus that how good he is, how good of a Jew he is, how good of a follower of the law he is. And so he puts Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And that's a big deal. That's a big question. Maybe you and I, we should be considering this question too. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Or in other words, he's asking, what's God's ultimate will for us? What is God's ultimate will for us? And so Jesus, in typical Jesus fashion, he answered the lawyer back with a question. What is written in the law? How do you read it? The lawyer obviously knows his stuff. He wants to test Jesus. He wants to show us off. So he summarizes all the OT law that God has given them with two phrases. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And I'm just imagining this lawyer probably said this with like a little smirk. And he kind of looked up and he's kind of proud. And he's probably thinking, let's see what Jesus is going to say. If he is really the Son of God, he knows what I have done. And so Jesus says, you have answered correctly, Mr. Lawyer. Do it. Do this and you will live. And the lawyer, we read that he's desiring to justify himself, as in like he wants to prove himself that maybe he has already done this. And so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Maybe he's thinking, you know, I love all my neighbors. I love all the people. I love all the Jewish people. I've already done all of these things already. So Jesus, who is my neighbor? And in a typical Jesus fashion, he answers it with another way that he usually answers questions, is with a story. Jesus says, there was a man. Mr. Lawyer, listen. There was a man who was leaving Jerusalem to go to Jericho. And on the way, he was robbed and beaten, and he was left on the road half dead. Now, by chance, just so happens, the priest, one of you guys, was heading from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's for work. We know Jericho is a priestly city, so that's for work. It's for priestly duties. And the priest saw the man on the road, and he passed by on the other side. And at this point, the lawyer probably thought to himself, wait, what's going on? What's going on? I asked, who is my neighbor? What is this story trying to do? And he's trying to come to grasps with the story. He says, well, the priest is going to Jericho for work, for service. And obviously, well, he can't be late. You can't be late for God's service. You know, if he stopped to help this man, whoever this man is, he'd have to go through rituals to cleanse himself and he'd be late. You can't be late for God's work. And besides Jesus, we don't even know who this man is. Is he even a fellow brother? Is he a Gentile? Does he even worship Yahweh? Somebody else can help him. Somebody else can help him. And so Jesus continues the story. He says, likewise, a Levite, also part of you guys, he came to the place, he saw the man and passed by on the other side, and to which the lawyer probably thought, well, the Levite is an assistant to the priest, so he's probably heading to Jericho doing the same thing. He can't be late for God's work. He can't be late for God's ministry. So that's understandable. Somebody else can help. But Jesus, who is this man anyway? Is he a fellow brother? Like, you have to tell us who this is. And so the two religious leaders, both of them, going to the service of God, attending to God's work, they passed by, avoided this interruption because they needed to attend to something they believed to be more important. And so Jesus continues, he says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to the place where the man was, and to which the lawyer and probably everybody at that point is like, a Samaritan, those animals? The Samaritan, those half-breeds, those like filthy mixed race, no way. What are they doing here in Jerusalem? They have no business here. Maybe they are the one that robbed that man. And Jesus probably smiled a little. The Samaritan, he saw the man and he had compassion. And he went to the man, bound up his wounds. He set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He then took out his own money, gave them to the innkeeper, telling the innkeeper to take care of the man, and he will come back to repay when he's done whatever he needed to do. He will come back, repay everything else. So the Samaritan, get this, the Samaritan had no dealings in Jerusalem. They don't just show up. They don't just go picnic there. They don't wander in Jerusalem. So he obviously had something to do. But this Samaritan, he had something to do, but he was willing to be interrupted. And so Jesus asked the lawyer, Mr. Lawyer, you're a smart man. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the one who fell among the robbers. You are a smart man. I'm answering a question now. Who do you think is a neighbor to that man? And I probably imagine that scene. The lawyer probably looked down. He's like maybe like clenching his fist. He's angry that Jesus compared him to a Samaritan. How dare him? But he's also kind of ashamed that Jesus kind of saw through his thinking. And so the lawyer said, well, that guy who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, you go and do likewise. Turns out, the priests and the Levite, when they thought they were doing God's work and doing God's will by avoiding that interruption, they actually missed the whole point. But the Samaritan who embraced and who allowed himself to be interrupted, he actually did God's will. He did God's will of loving your neighbor and loving God. He turned that interruption into an opportunity to love, regardless of whether that person was worthy or not. And so Jesus said to the lawyer, and also to you and to you and I, really today, you go do the same. When interruptions come, don't avoid them. Don't run away. Don't put a sign up. Don't pass by on the other side because you have more important things to do or maybe even like work for God. These interruptions can be God's invitation for you to work for Him, for you to work in His will. And honestly, these may even be God's way of saying, hey, you need a break. Yes, you need a break, but you need a break from you. You need a break from you, from your ways, from doing what you want to do. And so why don't you see interruptions as an invitation to do God's will? Now, in order to do this, there's something quite practical that you need to do. You need to create, or we need to create, what we call margin. Margin, you know what margin is? Margin in a book are those spaces on that page. And we need spaces in our schedule. We need spaces even in maybe like emotionally or, you know, mentally in our headspace, we need margin. Because let's be honest, right? The reason why you and I, we have frustration with interruption is because our schedule is packed from the top to the bottom to the next days of the next week. And so in order for us to really accept interruption as God's invitation, we need to make margin. And in his book called Margin, very, very fittingly called Margin, there's a physician and researcher, Dr. Richard Swenson. He said this about margin. He said, margin exists for the needs of the kingdom. Wow. Margin is for the needs of the kingdom, for the service of one another, for the building of community. It exists. Margin exists just as we exist for the purpose of being available to God. And he goes on and he quotes a pastor, Pastor Bruce Larson. He says, it is possible that the most important thing God has for me, God has for you on any given day is not even on your agenda, is not even on your to-do list or your Google Calendar. And he asks, am I interruptible? Do I have time for the non-programmed things in my life? And he goes on to say, even my responses, our responses to those interruptions is the real test of our love. Our love for that man on the street who was beaten and left to die. The love for the neighbor like that Samaritan. And so the first thing to do is to allow for interruptions by making room, creating margin in your schedule so you can have a break from yourself. You can have a break from yourself to do God's will. And the second thing to do is to change the perspective of interruptions. Instead of seeing them as frustrations, they may very well be God's invitation or maybe even God's intervention in your life. This is how German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he understands it like this. He says, we as Christians, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and even canceling our plans. We experienced this year a lot by sending us people with claims and petitions. But he says sometimes like us, we pass them by. Like that priest and that Levite, we are preoccupied with our more important things to do. It's a strange fact that Christians and even ministers consider their work so important and urgent that they will allow nothing to disturb them. But, he says, we think we're doing God a service, like that Levite, like that priest, but we're actually disdaining God's crooked yet straight path. What he means here is God's path sometimes is not a straight line. He'll give you interruptions that take you from here to here to here. It's crooked. But in God's eyes, that's what he intended. That is his straight path. And so, why don't we change that perspective? Why don't we see interruptions not as frustrations, but as invitation to do God's will? Because those interruptions can very well be God's intervention in your life as well. Remember that story I shared with you at the beginning about me in my car and seeing a teenager get hit by a car when I was on the way to work? You know, at that intersection, I debated for a long time whether I should stop and get out of the car and help this teenager. And I don't want to be overly cliche about this, but honestly, I thought about the Good Samaritan. And I thought to myself, I need to get out of the car to help this kid. And so I texted my girlfriend at the Fizz at that time, and I told her, I witnessed an accident, I gotta go. I will be late a little. And I told the staff team I'll be late a little. And so I went down the car, and I didn't really even do much, honestly. I talked to the kid, I asked him what his name was, I told him my name, I kind of, in my best ability, checked that he was still fine. He wasn't bleeding. He seems to be still kind of functioning all right. And then another woman also stopped and also got out of her car, and she was calling 911, and we were calling her parents, calling his parents. And so the help is coming, and he seems to be fine as time goes on. Honestly, I don't know if my presence helped at all. I don't know if my presence helped at all. And certainly, I didn't help him physically. Like, I didn't bound it up. I didn't know any of that. But what I do know is that I have come out of that incident changed. Because that boy is stuck in my mind. That kid is stuck in my mind. And I have learned a valuable lesson of what Jesus meant when he was talking about the Samaritan's love. And so it turns out that interruptions can be our invitation for God to change us. Interruptions, when we allow ourselves to be interrupted, yes, sometimes we may help a man, a boy, a kid, a friend, but more often than not, and maybe even more importantly, we come out of the interruption changed. We're inviting God to change us, like the Good Samaritan. We grow to become more like Jesus. See interruption as invitation for God to change us. And so my question is, would you consider creating some margin in your life so that you can accept these interruptions? And maybe would you consider seeing them a little bit differently as after today? And maybe for you, it means taking some time to talk to a friend or a coworker and just asking them, how are you doing? Even though you're already overloaded with work, you're behind. Or maybe it means like helping your siblings or your family members, even though you got your own stuff to do. Or maybe it means like taking an extra step to help a friend who has fallen ill. Maybe you deliver some groceries to him or her, or maybe just get him or her a gift, a get well card because they can't go out during this time. Or maybe it's accepting even a bigger interruption. You know, as we are planning to open our in-person services, maybe it means saying yes to some of those things. Maybe it means, you know, not seeing the call to serve as an interruption, but maybe seeing it as something that God has sent your way. Maybe stepping out of what you thought you wanted to do and maybe take a bigger role in our service coming up. Because God can use these interruptions to change your life. God can use these interruptions to change a person's life, or maybe even change the world, because this is what happened 2,000 years ago. When Mary and Joseph, just a young couple, they accepted this unbelievable interruption. The Holy Spirit would give Mary a baby. What a huge interruption. That's unbelievable. That's not possible. That's not even acceptable in that culture. She's going to get thrown out of that village. But they accepted that interruption as an invitation to follow God's will. And so even Jesus' birth was an interruption, and so is his death. He ended his life on earth when he accepted that ultimate interruption. interruption by dying on the cross. But Jesus never looks at us as interruptions or as disruptions or frustrations even. In fact, he embraces our sinners, the sick, the needy, with such love and compassion because it's in his nature to do so. Because can't you see? He is the Good Samaritan. He is the Good Samaritan that goes out of his way to help a man that he didn't need to. He would go out of his way to help somebody maybe he didn't even know. Certainly he didn't deserve it. And it's because he accepted this interruption, we are saved from rotting and dying in the wilderness. We are saved from sin and death. And today, you and I, we're called to be like him. To love as he has done. To love those that have interrupted us. And to show God's heart and to follow his will in all these interruptions. Let us pray together. God, as I preach your word and as I give this message, I don't know where this is going to land. But I'm praying for perhaps there's a few people or maybe a group of people here. They're hearing this frustration, interruption, and they say, man, this is exactly what I've gone through the past couple of weeks or past couple of days. Or maybe I'm even going through it right now. I'm interrupted. There are some things I really want to do, but I never got to do it. And I'm just so frustrated. God, we pray, and our prayer is that you will grant them a new perspective, so that they can align what they see with what you see. God, I ask that you can use even those interruptions, those unpleasant things, or even disruptions. God, use it for your glory. Use it so that we can grow, become like you. God, I want to bless those brothers and sisters who've just gone through or dealing with interruptions. God, I bless them that they can become more like Jesus, become more like that Good Samaritan. May their love for you and their love for their neighbor grow, especially after these interruptions. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, let me now bless you with the word of God. Go now to will and to work for God's purposes. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Be filled with the same love and look to the interests of others. With reverence for God, work out your salvation. Because you are the children of God in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Shine as lights in the world. Amen. So, church, that concludes our worship service today. We encourage you to continue worship through offering, and you can do so by scanning the QR code or head to our website, english.mykc.ca. Before you go, we have an important announcement for you regarding our in-person services, so we're going to ask you to stay to watch it if possible. Church, we want to take this time now to give to you an important update with regards to our in-person worship services. As the COVID-19 cases and the hospitalization numbers have been trending down for the past few weeks, and as the BC health restrictions are being lifted, we will now begin to open our in-person worship services in a few stages in the coming weeks. When we open this time, things will look a little bit different than before, because throughout the past 2 to 3 months, the pastoral team have been meeting diligently and revisiting some of the strategies of the church. And today I want to take this time to share with you our revised strategy, particularly as it relates to the English ministry. We're going to be hosting the English service with a new approach and direction and a new time instead of 9:15 a.m. on Saturday morning that we've planned previously. The reason for this is that we have observed, particularly in the past few years, that 9:15 a.m. is not an ideal time to develop our English service. We've been looking at the weekly attendance of our 9:15 a.m. services for the past few months, and we have also released a survey to ask our viewers to indicate whether they would join our in-person services as we reopened. These two figures, which honestly are much less than what we have expected, tell us that there is a need to rethink our service time and location and our strategy. In addition to this, we have also considered the needs of our next generation, the young adults, the high school students, the children coming from youth and corpus, all of which add up to approximately 20 to 30 people each year that will join our English services. Considering all these factors, we believe there is a need to reposition this service to a time that will best address the needs of the people that we believe will attend our services. And with the limited availability in our rental venue, Fraser View Church, we don't have a lot of options because Saturday afternoon is not available. Sunday is also not an available time. So with all this in mind, starting on April the 16th, we will open the in-person English service at 6:45 p.m. It will be an evening service. And in conjunction with this, some of our youth and young adults ICOS will happen shortly after the service, which is at 8 p.m. The developing vision for this new strategy is that this service will be a dedicated time for the English members to grow, to develop, to lead, or to even host the service. And our hope is that this will allow more of our attendees, our next generation, our young people, our families to attend this time and to be engaged in this church and call this church their home. And we really believe that with the limited options that we have, this new time is the best way forward to continue to nurture and to serve our congregation. So again, starting on April the 16th, our English in-person worship will begin at 6:45 p.m. to 7:45 p.m. Let me now show you a chart that will summarize all of our other ministries with our in-person planning as well. So if you take a look at this chart on the left side here, you can see the time and the date, which is on Saturday. And here is the times for the Saturday slot. So 9:15 a.m., 10:45 a.m., 6:45 p.m., and 8 p.m. And on the right side over here, you can see the different services slash ministries. So there's Cantonese, there's English service and youth ICOS or young adults ICOS. There's the Karpas and children ministry, and there is the youth ministry as well. And as already said, we will open our English service and our ICOS starting on April 16th at 6:45 p.m. and 8 p.m. As for our Cantonese services, we'll open our 10:45 a.m. Cantonese service on March the 19th. We will also add a morning service at 9:15 a.m. on April the 2nd. With that as well, our Karpas student worship and our youth will open on April 2nd in their corresponding time slots. An extra note, since we'll be opening all of our in-person ministries, we will stop hosting our worship, our English worship service online. And so for us, that means April 9th will be the last English online service. If you'd like more information about all these, you can head to our website, english.mykec.ca. Undoubtedly, for most of us, and for me included, this is going to be a big change and adjustment. The shift in time presents a lot of unknown and uncertainty, but we also believe it presents a lot of opportunities and even possibilities for growth and development. And so we ask that you continue to prayerfully support this church as we step into the next chapter. Additionally, we ask that you walk with us in a couple of concrete ways coming up. First, we encourage you to begin making preparations to join our in-person service. We know that this new time might need some coordination or adjustment with your family schedule or your school slash work schedule, but we're very excited to have you back and we hope that you can make those preparations so that we can see you in person. Secondly, we want to encourage you to consider joining and serving in a ministry team. Especially in this new time, we'd love to have you walk with us and build up this service together. And you can do so by heading to our website, english.mykec.ca, or if you have any questions, you can just directly email me at carson@koinoniachurch.ca. Thirdly, we ask that you share with your friends and family about this new direction. We hope that we can bring others into the service so that they can hear the gospel in our church family as well. Lastly, please pray for the church, the staff team, and the leaders who are making the preparations right now. Please pray for them because we're working extremely hard during these few weeks to prepare for in-person services. Please pray for the sermon teams as they are gearing up to return. And pray for the church as a whole. Pray for yourself that we continue to grow and continue to have unity during these development and changes. May God continue to lead us and guide us and use us to accomplish His will and His plan. We're so excited for this new chapter of our church, and we hope to see you in one of our in-person services.